Well, John Barry, I suppose the first thing anyway, before we start talking about Kerry hurling, no man better to give a record of the Kerry hurling, because you were working with the Kerry men for, and sports editor eventually. How long were you with the Kerry men?
46 years. Long time.
How did you go in there first year?
Well, 1959 when I started, and jobs were very scarce, you know, at that time, and I just went for an interview. My brother Eddie was working there, and he told me about a job that was coming up. The hot favourite was Ian O'Leary from Killarney, whose father Morris worked as a staff man for the Kerry men. But we were interviewed anyway, and under Dan Olin, and I got the job. So I started.
Who were the sports people there, John, that time? Well, now, PF. What names were there when you went in there, 59?
Well, PF was the god like that time.
Talk to us about PF.
Well, he wasn't a reporter as such. He was a proofreader. In other words, when journalists typed out their copy and it came out in print, he checked the copy against the printed version and corrected any mistakes that were made. That was his function. You know, he was also a director of the Kerry men. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if he was chairman of the board. Like, but he was back from West. He was back from the West. Like, and he was deeply immersed in football himself. I think he was a Kerry selector for a while too, you know.
And he travelled to America with the Kerry team and wrote a book about it?
He did. He wrote. I have his book out there, actually. It's a very interesting book. Very interesting book.
What other names, John, were in the Kerry men when you went in that time?
Well, John Barrett was there, of course. Yeah, I think John Barrett was there, yeah. And John went to the Dublin after. John was a brilliant journalist, like. Of course, Eamon Horan as well. Eamon was with the Irish Press as well.
Eamon took over from PF, would that be right?
Well, John Barrett was there as well. Eamon became the main sports writer for the football.
Yeah.
After that then, you know.
And who did you take over then, a sports editor from?
Well, there was no sports editor, actually.
Wasn't there?
No, no. Yeah. That was an appointment that was, I suppose, walked through the NUJ. Yeah. You know, there was a farm editor and a sports editor appointed with agreement with the management, and I got an increase of £10.
Of course, you were an out-and-out stacksman. How many were in the family? How many boys and girls?
Well, my brother Eddie and two sisters, Mary and Helen. All still alive. Eddie's only living across the road. Mary is living in the spa, and Helen's up in Athlone.
Of course, the Stacks, of course, renowned football club, but also hurling club. And would I be right in saying, was hurling your first love?
Absolutely.
How did hurling become your first love, John, when you were such immersed in a great football club?
Well, I suppose, I mean, I was actually in the Mitchells area, because I lived on the left-hand side of the main Listowel Road as you go into town, and that was supposed to be Mitchells area. And John O'Keefe actually lived over the road from me, and he played with the Stacks as well. Of course, we were got young. And Joe, there were two fantastic people that I remember, with Joe Mulchinock and Paddy Drummond, and also a guy called Michael McMahon. And, you know, they got me going down playing hurling. And, well, of course, my father played with Kilfin Gamecocks, and he was a very prominent hurler with him, you know. He died very young, like.
So it would be only right to say, John, that you got your hurling from your father, really?
I suppose. It was spread into me, twice.
Now, was there minor hurling when you were growing up? And talk to us how you got into the hurling and how you progressed up along to the Kerry team.
Well, I suppose Racecourse Road, where I lived, the hurlers were never out of our hands. We were in the Rock Field as well, training. But I just took an immense liking to the game, and even after my first communion in 1947, the first thing I did was go down to Cable Shop in Ash Street and buy a hurley. And we went up to Maidowell, and we went in the main gate. The door is still there, into the convent, and didn't I leave the hurley outside? Forgot the hurley.
Yeah.
And when I came out afterwards, the hurley was still there.
It was.
Still there.
Yeah. And of course, around the 50s and 60s, John, then, it was really, and most people won't realise this, it was a golden era for Kerry hurling. Now, you got on the Kerry minor hurling team. Give us an idea about hurling in Kerry around the 50s and your involvement, and bring us up along.
Well, I suppose, to put things in perspective, like, and to give you an idea of the strength of Kerry hurling at the time, in 1956, these are the kind of results Kerry achieved in the Munster Junior Hurling Championship. They beat Limerick by 6-10 to 1-5. They beat Tipperary by 4-3 to 1-1, I think, and they beat Watford in by 6-7 to 0-3 in the Munster final. Now, they went up and played Kilkenny in the All-Ireland semi-final, I think, Desan and Turles, and they put up a great display, but I think Dennis Heaslip from Tipperary was the man who wrecked Kerry's hopes. I think he scored a number of goals. But most of that, a lot of them, of that Kilkenny team went on to win the Senior All-Ireland the following year. And, you know, it gives you a fair idea of the level of hurling that was there at the time in Kerry, you know. And there was great men there. Like,
who were the men now we're talking about around that particular era?
Well, I suppose you had the great legend that is McKinnissey, and I mean, number one, Richard McKelligott. You know, I was lucky enough to play with a pile of these guys afterward because, you know, when I first played in 1960, these guys were still there, like, you know, and I can reel off the names of all those guys later on for you, but, you know, the standard is very high, and, I mean, the county championship was extremely tough to win as well, you know, but... In the following year, Kerry actually played senior hurling in the Munster Championship in 57 and played Tipperary in Tralee. And I was a sub in the minor match, and Jimmy Dial, the great Jimmy Dial, came on, played in that minor match and gave an exhibition and came on as a sub in the senior team that day in Tralee. You know, so we all know how Tipperary went on, and Jimmy Dial went on to achieve afterwards, of course.
After your days as a minor, then, John, you qualified onto the Kerry senior team, and you were going entering a great phase of Kerry hurling in the 60s because you were going to contest Munster Championships, All-Ireland Finals and National League Finals, which most people don't realise. Give us an idea now of the names and the games and what hurling was about all during that period.
Well, I suppose I came on the scene in, you know, I played minor in 57 and 58. I came on the scene in 1960. And the first game Kerry played that year actually was against Watford, and they were the All-Ireland champions at the time. They had won the All-Ireland 59, and they haven't won it since. But they played in Tralee against Kerry, and it was a curtain raiser actually to a Kerry football team versus the rest of Ireland, which Kerry won by, I think, 2-8 to 1-10 by just a point. And it was a fundraiser for the O'Reilly's club. But, you know, Kerry put up a good display in that match against Watford, like. And 2 weeks later then came the opening of the Listowel pitch. And, you know, what happened there, of course, in senior football, is that Kerry hammered the ladder down by 6-6 to 9 points. And we played in the curtain raiser against Glen Rovers. And, you know, who was on the Glen Rovers team, of course? The famous Christy Ring. And I was playing right half forward that day, and Christy Ring was centre-back. And they beat us, but I remember Eamon Horan's reporting on the game, and Eamon commented on the fact that not alone did he give an exhibition of hurling, and this is 19 years after he won his first senior All-Ireland medal. Not alone did he give an exhibition of hurling, but he, according to Eamon's report, never once did he catch the ball in the whole game. He just left it fly whatever way it came at him, which is a sign of a great hurler. That's gone out of the game now, like.
What are your memories, John, of Christy Ring that particular day? Is there anything that stands out in your mind? Johnny Cullity often taught me he played in the two games. He played in the football game against Down, and he played in the hurling game. What are your memories of Ring? Is there anything stands out about him? Describe him to our listeners, because most people listening wouldn't have known anything about Christy Ring.
Well, I don't remember too much about Christy Ring in that particular game. Oh, of course I did, yeah. Yeah. I was actually with him a few nights before he died, because I was part of a judging panel for the Cox Sports Stars. Irish and European Holdings were the sponsors at the time, and we had a very successful Kerry Sports Stars going in Kerry, and I was invited down by Irish and European to be part of the panel in the Cork, and well, a number of meetings down there with Christy, and you know, a very nice guy to talk to actually, you know, but he was just hurling mad.
What had he done in the field? How was Christy Ring recognised as the greatest hurler of all time?
I suppose his first touch was just incredible, and he had unbelievable courage. And I mean, he, you know, there was a Tipperary full back line there at that time, Mick Maher, Kieran Carey, and John Dial, that's, you know, they were famous, like, for not letting anybody near their goalkeeper. And, you know, he learned the hard way but he coped. I mean, he went on to win 8 All-Ireland medals and captain cocked the 3 All-Ireland titles.
And I think won something like 15 Railway Cups.
Incredible.
Incredible.
No, he was incredible.
John, just staying with that for a minute now and going back to the Kerry and Down game in Listowel at the opening of the pitch. I think it was probably the first time Kerry and Down ever met, and Kerry hammered Down, but they never beat Down since in a championship game after that.
No.
Have you any memories of that particular game or the players?
In Listowel?
Just as
I don't actually. No. I suppose we were talking off and I don't remember. All I remember was that Kerry just absolutely and utterly riddled Down that day. But whether Down were on the booze the night before or not, because I think they were actually National League champions, weren't they, Down that year?
Yes, sir.
But whether they were on the booze the night before or not, but they certainly came along in the fourth Sunday in September and overturned that result big time.
Now, Kerry were going to go on in the 60s and they were going to win some great battles. They played in Croke Park. Many bring us up to John and remind us of the players and maybe the men behind the scene and the games you played and what you won.
Well, I suppose the next year we should talk about, I suppose, I'll stay on 1960 because after beating, I think we beat Clare we did in the first round, 5-9 to 4 points in the Munster Junior Hurling Championship. And the semi-final was played in Limerick against Limerick. And Limerick had quite a young team there. But it also included the famous referee, Gerry Fitzgerald, who I'm sure you know well.
Yeah.
This game deserves to go down in the annals of Kerry Hurling for the simple reason is that Limerick led by 3 goals and 8 points to 7 points with 12 minutes left. And the scores came like this for Kerry. Teddy Hennessy goal, an Niall Sheehy point, a Billy McCarthy goal, a Sean Healy point, and then a Niall Sheehy met a ball in the air and doubled it into the net. 2 minutes later, the final whistle went and Kerry had won by a point.
Remarkable.
I'll never forget after that match the Kerry excitement, number one, but the Limerick players and officials, they were
stunned.
They're just absolutely and utterly stunned. They were out in the field, I'd say, for a quarter of an hour, 20 minutes before they realised they were actually beaten. You know, that was a comeback like that deserves to go down in the annals, like, you know. So
after that game, then you were in the final?
Down in the Mardyke in Cork, and that's a game we definitely should have won. I only came on as a sub in the match in Limerick. I wasn't a regular on the team, but I was playing in the Munster final in the Mardyke, and they got 2 handy goals just coming up to half time.
Yes, Cork.
Cork did, and they led at half time. But we came back to go ahead in the second half, and the name I'll always remember for the rest of my life is a guy called Ray Sisk, who came on as a sub for Cork, scored the goal and turned it. And they just edged home against us in that final in the Mardyke. So, you know, that was the year before, I suppose, the big victory in 61, the All-Ireland Junior victory.
Now, John, the men behind the team that time, those years that we were just talking about, who were some of the names that were the men behind the Kerry team?
Well, I'm not exactly sure the selectors then, but
Any men involved
the five selectors I was involved with mostly in my time were, I suppose, Dennis P, Johnny Hosey, Jimmy Flaherty, Gabe McKenna, and Johnny Hosey.
John, were they all mad hurling men? Give us an idea of what kind of individuals they were.
Oh, they were absolutely dedicated to cause completely. Dedicated to the cause completely. I could tell you a good story about it, but it mightn't be suitable for print.
Well, you can tell us the pieces that are suitable.
Well, I won't even mention the names in case they might get upset, but we were playing Offaly above in Borough one day, and a guy who was home on holidays was put in, 2 guys who were actually around were put in for players who didn't turn up under assumed names, and I think 4 of the selectors were suspended for 12 months. You know, that was in the mid-60s.
Yeah. You mentioned going up to playing above in Offaly. You were doing a lot of travelling around that time. There was a lot of Lashing League games and you were very successful and you were competing with the best, with the top counties, really.
Oh, absolutely. Offaly, I mean, Division 2 that time, you had Offaly, You had Leash, with Antrim, of course. You know, in all the time I played from 1960, and I packed up in 1968, Antrim never beat us once. Never beat us once. We beat them in two division league finals, and we beat them in the 68 Division 2 final in Croke Park. And actually, they were the first team we beat on the road to the 61 All-Ireland victory.
And we'll talk about that now, John. The 1961 All-Ireland victory, how many years ago is that now?
Would you believe 50?
50 years ago this year.
On the 1st of October.
It was the first All-Ireland Championship victory that Kerry achieved since
1891, when the seniors won.
Yeah. When you set out that year, John, we'll talk about the first game, and when you set out, was there a plan in mind, or did you decide that you were going to have a go for the All-Ireland? Were you training hard? Did you actually come together? What was the setup?
There was a definitely plan in mind to win the junior All-Ireland, because the intermediate team was supposed to be the top team, but they decided, the selectors, and presumably with the help of the county board or approval of the county board, decided to put the best team in the junior championship. The intermediate team were beaten in the Munster Championship, and therefore the first game that the senior team played was in the All-Ireland semi-final against Antrim above Encasement Park in Belfast. And that was won easily enough, I think, you know.
Yeah. Talk to us about the junior. Now, does junior win bring us through?
Well, Antrim were the Ulster champions. They'd come through Ulster. And I think goals by Sean Lovett and Eamon Sullivan. I think we led at half time by, I think, 2-5 to pint. And we went on to win, I think, by 2-10 to 1-5. There was never any doubt that we were going to win that match, you know. And we had a great time in Belfast. I mean, I had never been up north before. And, you know, I always remember Jimmy and Flaherty giving the famous recitation. His Wolf Tones address at the grave of Dunham and Rossa.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that he did above in Belfast. Well, things were, you know, there was any serious trouble up there that time, you know, 1961. But we went on then to play Meath in Croke Park in the home final.
Right.
And we beat them as well. And
what did you beat them by?
I think the final score in that game was 4-9 to 5-3.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny Culty, the famous Johnny Culty, scored two goals in the first half. And I was lucky enough to get a goal in the second half. And Tony Murphy from Kinmare, that lovely man who died. The butcher, a great friend of mine. Tony scored a goal, and you know, they were the crucial scores, and we went on to qualify to meet London in the final in Arsenal, actually.
No, it was a home and away. They'd call it the home final and the away final, but the final was played in Tralee.
John, London, yeah.
How important was it all taken that time? Was there a lot of excitement? Kerry in an All-Ireland final. They haven't won one since the 1800s. Was there a big build-up to it? What are your memories of it?
There was, actually, because the Caribbean always gave great coverage to the hurling at the time. And there were 5,000 people at the game, which was a fair crowd now for an attendance at an All-Ireland junior hurling final in Tralee. Yeah. And I think it was a kind of a one-sided game. We actually won it very easily, you know. We weren't that far ahead at half-time. I think we were 5 points ahead at half-time. I think it was 1-5 to 3 points. But I did a goal coming from that Arfert magician, Billy McCarthy. And second half goals, I think, by Teddy Hennessy and Billy McCarthy, who scored another two, would you believe, kind of sealed it, you know.
Had you trained for it, John? Had you made preparations? Was it treated like we'd say it was today now? It was all get together and it was all meetings and it was all training in the mornings and the evenings and preparations. Was it like that back then?
I suppose we trained well enough. You know, we trained in Tralee in Arsenstack Park. But the man behind us, the trainer, was Jackie Power. And, I mean, Jackie had been there and done it all. And you know, he was a great friend of mine, actually,
When you say he had been there, done it all, there are people listening might have never heard of Jackie Power.
Well, I mean, he played in the great era of Limerick hurling. And, you know, he was there, actually, when they came back to win the last All-Ireland title in 73. He was in the backroom team. And he played, I mean, he played with Mackie and he played against all the greats at the time. And he was, I think when Tommy Ryan wrote his famous book, A Lifetime in Hurling, he picked the best 15 and Jackie Power was on that team.
We're talking about George Power's dad, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And then you mentioned 1973. Of course, he trained at Staxton to win the county championship, football in 73.
He did.
That was the famous goal that Bracker scored when he was inside in the square and it was allowed by the referee. There was a referee from Killarney.
The referee happened to be Wishy Fogarty. That's true.
Goal should have been disallowed. That's right. What they say anyway. Anyway, because he played basketball in Killarney. Now, John, after the game was a great excitement after winning this All-Ireland for the first time since
1891.
Kerry won a championship. How were you feated and what transpired after?
Well, I mean, it was hurling was still, you know, the very much the weaker cord, like, but, you know, I mean, as you know, Knockery was absolutely steeped in the hurling tradition. And I think we helped, you know, through the 60s to build up a high profile in South Kerry as well. And, you know, we had our presentation was in the Meadowlands Hotel in Tralee, and it was a fairly big occasion. Mind you, at the county board meeting after the victory, I think that Michael Begley, who was always good for a headline, you know, when I was covering county board meetings, kind of raised the fact that there was no official from Croke Park present to present the trophy. But Micheál O'Rourke did that. Micheál O'Rourke was the Kerry Central Council delegate at the time. And at the county board meeting, he praised the quality of the hurling in the game and said he had seen some of the best hurling that had been produced for a very long time. He was very impressed by the standard hurling in the game. And Dr. Jim was chairman, and Dr. Jim paid rich tribute to Frank Sheehy, who, you know, from the Stole, after whom the Stole pitch is called. And Frank was, you know, I'll always remember my first county board meeting when Frank was in the chair and I was just spellbound by the level of his oratory. It was just fantastic. And, you know, Gerald McKinnon came along after and came close, but I still think that Frank Sheehy was the greatest orator I ever saw in action.
Lovely stuff. Lots of mercy on him. As you say, the pitch in the Stole is called after him, the whole setup. The 60s now, John, was a great era for Kerry hurling. How many national leagues did you win? Because people don't realise how good an era it was in hurling. It has been forgotten in many ways. Talk to us about that whole decade.
In the Munster Championship, we didn't fare that particularly well. 62, we lost to Waterford, would you believe, in Castle Island. I think that must have been the last important game that was played, hurling game that was played in Castle Island. 63, we lost to Clare in Ennis. 64, we lost to Limerick in Tralee. We beat Limerick actually in Tralee by 4-10 to 3-2, and then lost to Cork in Macroom. Very tight match, but.
Was this junior or intermediate?
Oh, this was intermediate. Very tight match in Macroom. And who should come on? And when we were about to achieve a famous victory, but Justin McCarthy, the great Justin McCarthy, and he turned the game for Cork, and we lost there. Last to Galway the following year. Galway were a monster, obviously, that year.
You were competing, John, against all the top counties. We must make this point. And no heavy defeats. You were well able to compete. Would that be right?
Well, you must remember now, in the Intermediate Championship, we weren't competing against the top teams. Yeah. We were competing maybe against not even their second string, the top intermediate players in the county from Cork, say, and the other counties. But the standard was better. I mean, Justin McCarthy, and when you see all the guys that I mean, when we played in that Munster junior hurling final in Bardyke in 1960, who was the goalkeeper only? The great Paddy Barry, who achieved a lot in his time with Cork. And, you know, I mean, great players have come through the intermediate and junior ranks to play for great counties. In 65, we lost to Galway, I said that. 66... lost to Cork and Kemare, 67. Great match in Dungarvan against Waterford. They beat us by, I think, a goal, 4-8 to 3-8. and back to Macroom in 68. Another great match with Cork, but Cork emerged victorious in 68. And that was, well, that wasn't my swan song. My swan song is actually in the Division II National League final after. But the great thing about the Kerry Hurling team, some of the players that stayed on until 1970, including Johnny Cullity and Tom Kirby, and Eamon Sullivan actually got a medal there as well. They beat Cork in Mallow in the Munster Intermediate Hurling Final. And, you know, that was their first Munster Hurling title since the great team of 56. Yeah. So I was kind of sorry I didn't stay on for another 2 years, but I was delighted for Johnny Cullity and for Eamon O'Sullivan, and Tom Kirby was still playing cornerback, the great Tom Kirby.
You had some. You played a lot of games in Croke Park. It was how many National League games? How many National League finals did Kerry win around that time? Division Two, Johnny. And you made a point to me that you mentioned that Johnny Cullity holds a record that no one else holds in relation to hurling.
Well, Johnny, Niall Sheehy should hold the same record, and so should Richie McElligott. In that, Johnny is the only man to have played in all four winning Kerry teams in Division Two of the National League, 1957, 1962, 1967, and 1968. You know, it's and then to come along and win a Munster Intermediate Hurling Championship medal against Cork in 1970, set the ceiling on a wonderful hurler. I mean, we all know what he did in football, but he was also a fantastic hurler. And that set the ceiling a great career.
Staying with that, Division Two. Give us an idea about those Division Two finals, John, yeah. Because to me they seem to have been forgotten, because Kerry was a golden era for Kerry, and I have people discussing Kerry hurling lately, and one man said that Kerry only won one title and things like that. So put the record straight.
Well, Johnny puts the record straight on his own, and so, you know, with his achievements. But at that time in the 60s, the Division II hurling, it was a fantastic boost for hurling, like the Division II hurling finals were played as curtain raisers to the National Football League finals. And we played 4 years in a row in Croke Park as curtain raisers to the National Football League finals in front of 40, 50,000 people. And it was a fantastic boost for Kerry Hurling as well. But we, you know, I suppose we had 50% record of success. We lost two and we won two. And we lost the first to Laois in Croke Park. I think Kerry were also beaten by Galway in the main match that day in the National Football League final. They lost to Galway by 178 points. We lost to Laois, I think, by 314 to 34, which was a bad enough result. And then a year later, again in Croke Park, we played Offaly, and that was a fantastic game of hurling. We actually led Offaly by 3-6 to 4 at half-time, and, you know, we were looking really good, but they brought in a sub called Padge Mulhere, very famous hurler, and they had Paddy Spellman, I think, was very prominent for them as well, and they came back to beat us very narrowly. That was a big disappointment now. Paddy Finnegan, I think, had a blinder that day, scored 1-5, and Declan Lovett scored 1-3. And it was a game, you know, we should have won. That would have beat Offaly, and we all know what Offaly went on to achieve after, winning four All-Irelands, like, not with those players, but the county as a whole, you know. I suppose, you know, there was no chance of Kerry doing anything like that in the years which followed, and more's the pity. But it represented an incredible achievement by Offaly to come back and win four All-Irelands at senior level after that, you know. The football final that day, by the way, was a tough match between Longford and Galway, and Longford won by a point, 9-8. I suppose that brings us up to 1967, and we played Meath, and our luck turned, and we beat Meath by just it was a tough game, 4-8 to 3-8. Now, Niall Sheehy missed that game through bereavement. And if Niall had played that day, he would have shared the distinction of playing in all Division Two finals, victorious finals, with Kerry, the same as Johnny Colty, but he missed the game, you know.
Yeah.
But that was against Meath, and in the football final that day, Galway were playing Dublin, and Galway won it by 12 points to 1-7. Now, it's very interesting that day. You know, the great Snitchy Ferguson achieved a lot with Dublin in his time. And who was marking Snitchy? I was corner forward and he was right full back. And I was matching Snitchy. And we had a fair old battle. Every time we went for the ball, the cheer from the Hill 16 was incredible. And, you know, we wound up on the winning side, and that was the important thing.
So how many National League medals have you won with Kerry, John?
I missed out in 62 because I had a hernia operation.
Yeah.
And Sean Egan from Listowel got my place. And if you weren't there for the final, it doesn't matter how many games you played before it, you know, you didn't get a medal. Niall got no medal, even though he played in all the games. Yeah. in that final in 67, he got no medal. And so therefore he's one short to Johnny. But in 68 then, I think we went on to beat Antrim again. I mean, we'd appear not hit from beating Antrim. And Antrim must have been very disillusioned to be playing Kerry all those years from 61 when we beat them in the All-Ireland Junior title until 68. And we beat them that day by 2-11 to 1-9. And, you know, Johnny was the feature of that game, according to the reports I was reading in the paper afterward, the display given in goal by Johnny Colty. And Johnny actually wasn't the goalkeeper in the junior All-Ireland win of 1961. The goalkeeper that day was Jerome O'Donovan from Abidorney.
Yeah.
But Johnny could play anywhere, you know, as you well know. Mm-hmm. You were a clubman if he's in it. But, you know, Antrim led that day in 68 by 1-7 to 5 points. And Tom Kirby took a long free that wound up in the net, and that was the springboard for our comeback. And you know, as I say, we went on to win it by five points. And you know, that was my swan song. It was, you know, I think we were intending having a big celebration that night in the hurlers coming back, but Danny and Ryan, the taxi driver, we always travelled by taxi that time. Danny wouldn't stop the car to let us out. Myself and Willie Maguire, and thereby hangs a tale.
So, then, John, in that period, now, how many finals did Kerry play in, and how many did they win?
Well,
remind us again.
Doors in Croke Park from 65, 66, 67, and 68, and it was, we won 2 out of 4. We won 67 and 68 and lost 65 and 66.
So would I be right in saying that the year of the 60s was a golden era for Kerry hurling? And after that, then in the 70s, what are your memories? You were reporting in matches, of course, and you were following Kerry hurling, and you were deeply involved with the Kerry men. And in the 70s, could you rattle off a few names, John, who were involved, a few teams there, who was involved in those eras? Remind us of some of this. Well,
maybe if I went back and just, I'm just looking at something here now. The team that won in 60, that's the 21. The team that won the last Division Two title in 68 was as follows: Johnny Colty, Donal Lean, Niall Sheehy, Nicholas Quill, Tom Kirby, Pat Cronin, Mitch O'Quinlan, Tom Sullivan, Eamon Diggins, Todd Nolan, Willie Maguire, Tom McHenry, Declan Lovett, Eamon O'Sullivan, and myself, and Tom Kenny came in as a sub for Tony O'Sullivan. But if you go back, you know, to the team that won the All-Ireland, or the earlier teams, you know, I mean, the same names keep cropping up. I'm just looking at what team is that now.
Because there was a good group of players around that particular time, wasn't there? There was a very strong core of players. And they were very united. And a lot of them were playing hurling and football. You were a Jude player yourself.
Yeah.
And Niall Sheehy was a Jude player. And Declan Lovett was a dual player.
I can go back to the team that won the first Division 2 title in, that was 50, was it 57? Yeah, 57. And the team was Johnny Cullity, Jim Hogan, John McCarthy Crotter, John Mitchell from Kilgavin, Tom Collins, Kilmiley, Richie McElligott, Lixnair, and Mas O'Connell, Abidone, Sean Lovett, and Brendan Hennessy midfield, Sean Healy, Michael Hennessy, who was captain, and Pat O'Connell, Lixnair, Teddy Hennessy, Niall Sheehy, and Billy McCarthy. Just look at that full forward line. Teddy Hennessy, Niall Sheehy, Billy McCarthy. How do you hold them like? Yeah. Do you know? And that was the first Division 2 title that Johnny won, Johnny Cullity.
John, you said there that Offaly went on after and they won three All-Irelands. But you also said then that there was no way Kerry could have done that. Now, why did you say that? Maybe you didn't say that, but what I'm coming to is, why is it, with all the success that time and the bases was there and the great hurlers, how is it that Kerry never really went further than that, even up until the day?
Well, I think it might, I don't know, might be for other people to comment on that. And I suppose, you know, we had so many other good teams around. When we did have a crack at the Munster Senior Ireland Championship, it was unsuccessful, you know. I mean, as I say, I remember when Tipperary came to Tralee in 57, you know, I think they beat the Kerry Seniors fairly well that day. Now, Kerry, I mean, I played National Hurling League against the Tipperary senior team in Turles, actually, and Kerry have achieved great successes over the years. My brother Eddie was on the team, I think, to beat Galway. Kerry have achieved great success over the years in the National League. I mean, when Clare won the All-Ireland title in 1995, they came down to Tralee to play Kerry in the National League. And who do you think won? Kerry beat Clare. And, of course, we all know the early 90s in Waterford. They beat Waterford in the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, you know. But
that was the day that Liam Cotter gave the big speech after and sang a song in Lartimer Cinema in the dressing room.
Yes, that was. I was alongside Billy Kirby, the late Billy Kirby, in that game. And, you know, Billy used to get excited in matches, but that was just a fantastic victory that day. You know, and
was that victory, John? What was the sweetest victory for you, we'd say, as a player, and the sweetest victory for you as a spectator, reporter, in hurling?
It's difficult enough for now, I suppose. The sweetest hurling victory would, I suppose, the famous day we came from 10 points behind against Limerick in 1960 would have to go down as a sweet one. I suppose my last victory in 68 with Kerry against Antrim in the Division 2 final in Croke Park would have to go down as a big one as well, you know. But of course there were a lot of disappointments on the way as well, you know. Losing three county hurling finals was a real downer.
Yeah, we'll turn to that in a minute. But watching the game now, John, both as a reporter and maybe spectator reporter, what great wins, what great displays come to mind?
For the Kerry hurlers?
Yeah.
I suppose that day in Waterford was great to be a Kerryman. I have been there on other occasions, actually, as a young fella, and watching great Kerry displays as well. And, you know, I mean, when you just go through that team that played in 56 and go through the teams that played, the great players that were there, like, from now, Kerry. And I mean, look at Sean Healy and the great team they had in Kilgavin in the 50s. I mean, God, that Sean Healy was just an incredible player at midfield, like, you know. But, I mean, they were Sean Lovett, you know, all those guys, they were absolutely brilliant. Teddy Hennessy, Nicholas Quill, Tom Kirby. I mean, we all know what Tom Kirby went down. When you go down to Cork and captain the Bars to win the Cork Senior Hurling Championship.
He died a young man, unfortunately, John.
Very young, he did. But what a gentleman.
Yeah. And Paddy Finnegan, Lartimer Sinn of Kinmare, the bank manager, died a young man.
He did, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Paddy was a very sweet and a great footballer as well, as you know. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, look, Richie McElligott, Mick Joe Quinlan, you know, all those guys. McKinnessy, of course, you know, they were... Niall Sheehy, Billy McCarthy.
No, I'm going to put you on the spot, but that's no problem for you, for an ex-reporter and the man that always put his head in the block. The top five hurlers you ever saw in Kerry.
Oh, Jesus, wish you'd have to give me time to think about that one. Not a hope.
How long will I give you?
Not a hope. I'd have to do a series. No. The top five? No. No.
No. Who did, all right, the top, I mean, the top one. Who was the best for
a general concession, McKinnessy would have to be to be up there. I mean, McKinnessy was an incredible hurler. And he captained the 61 team. Like.
Yeah.
I mean, he... And Brendan as well. I mean, Brendan and Mick, like, have proved themselves at the highest level. Yeah. I mean, they learned their hurling, I think, in St. Flans and Innes. And... You know, they know everything about the game and you know, but I mean, there are guys that, I mean, Richie McElligott to me, it was the centre halfback from Lixnaw, was such a lovely man and such a towering figure when he played. And I'll always have the fondest memories of Sean Lovett. Sean, I remember when we were organising the Silver reunion 25 years after winning the Junior All-Ireland, that we had set up a committee, and I was secretary, and Sean became chairman, actually, and I still have the letter there that he put a cheque for £100 in the post to me, and he says, that's towards the function. That was some gesture by him. You know?
I presume, John, 50 years gone now, that you'd be... In conjunction with the county board, you'd be having some function to celebrate 50 years of Kerry's win. That's par for the course, I presume.
Well, we do have a meeting. You know, nothing has happened yet, and nothing is planned yet. But we do have a meeting arranged shortly, and we'll be discussing the matter. I wouldn't go further than that.
No, you mentioned there in our discussion a while ago about three county finals. You were on the losing team in three county finals. Talk to us about those finals. I remember one, particularly in 1969, because Killarney won their only one and they beat you in the final. There was a controversial point scored in some final. What are your memories of those county finals, John, and the Stacks playing, and who did you play? And the players you played against and played with?
Well, I suppose the first county final was 68 against Cratter. Second county final was 69 against Killarney. And the third county final was 1974 against Abidorney.
How close did you come to winning those three games?
Well, controversially, in 68, Crotty beat us by a point. But I was playing centre-back that day, and I went up into the forward line in the closing minutes, and we got a 65, and it was taken by Christy McQueen. And I still have the slitter, actually, from that match, because it was handed into my brother's pub that night, and we bought it off the guy who brought it in. But... I was in more or less in the edge of the square, and the ball, I felt, was about 2 feet inside the post, and it was never flagged as a point. So we never got a replay. But the following year, we won the county final again, and against Killarney. And Killarney were 4-1 outsiders, given no chance of beating us, and they beat us by a point. And I was captain both times, so that was absolutely gut-wrenching to lose, especially to lose the 69 final against Killarney. And, of course, Johnny Cullity was on that team. Another medal for his unbelievable collection.
A couple of the men that were involved in the Killarney team that time, I know them well. Footballer, Pat Doyle, Lartimerson, who would be a father-in-law of my late brother, and Owen Brosnan's grandfather, Donny Brosnan, was also on the sideline, and the likes of Timmy Healy, people like that, they were on the line. Great hurling men.
We held many a South Kerry board meeting. Actually, I happened to be the first secretary of the South Kerry Hurling Board, and Richie Purcell was the first chairman. And we were told all our meetings in Killarney over...
The Handy Stores.
The Handy Stores in Killarney.
That shop is still there, alongside the International Hotel.
But getting back to the third county final against Abidorney in 1974, we gave ourselves a very good chance of winning that, and maybe finally getting the title that I felt we deserved. But a guy called Jackie Condon from Abidorney hammered 3 goals into the net, and that was the end of our dream.
John, talk about back in that era and the matches you played in the county championship, and what about, what was refereeing like then? Was it the same as it was today?
Well,
was the game harder?
It was, I mean, it was tough, and there were a lot of bad incidents, like, there's no question about it, but I never had a problem. Mm. I mean, I always woke up in the Monday morning a lot fresher after a hurling match than I would after a football match, when you'd have a lot of body contact. Mm. And, you know, I mean, I just loved playing hurling, and once you didn't pull back, you just got in, and the harder you got in, the safer you were. But, you know... Sorry, you were.
Yeah. But for the Stacks to complete in three county finals in a row, John, you must have a great panel. Where did you draw your players from, and what players would have been involved? A few names that would come to mind. To contest three county finals was great going.
Yeah, well, I suppose we had. Sorry, you were.
Yeah. But for the Stacks to complete in three county finals in a row, John, you must have a great panel. Where did you draw your players from, and what players would have been involved? A few names that would come to mind. To contest three county finals was great going.
Yeah, well, I suppose we had the great Joe Sullivan from West Kerry playing with us as well that time, you know. But I mean, it all came from the juvenile ranks. And the guys I mentioned earlier, Joe Mulchinock in particular, the great Paddy Drummond, and Michael McMahon. You know, God, they fostered hurling in the Stacks unbelievably. I'd say at their own expense as well. And it came up through that because we won the county minor hurling championship in 1955, and we also won the juvenile championship that year. And that was a fantastic double by the Stacks, you know, when you consider how strong hurling was in our Kerry. And it all stemmed from that, really.
No, John, you have been involved very closely with hurling all your life as a reporter and as a player and as a spectator, and you mix with all the great. Give us an idea about the passion of North Kerry clubs, the passion of hurling, and the difference between the hurling men, we'd say, and the football men. Because I find, anyway, that there's a big difference in attitude, and they're different people. Would I be right or wrong in saying that? Give us an idea about what it means to North Kerry in particular.
Oh, sure. It was, I mean, 10 years time you went in there. Football in our career, it'd be competitive as well. But, like, I mean, it's just...
And they're a different breed.
I don't know. They're just a wonderful tradition there for the game. They just passionately love their hurling. And that shows, and I mean, I know it's a pity that there are not more clubs. Interestingly, the three teams that beat us in those three county finals, Crotta, Killarney, and Abidorny, have never won the county championship since. And, you know, you'd like to see it going around a bit more, you know, but there's a few teams at the top, deservedly so. And you know, I suppose there's like hurling today with Tipperary and Kilkenny dominating, that you'd like to see other teams coming through as well, and you'd like to see that happening in the county championship.
As we come to conclusion, John, what's your favourite? You must have a couple of very favourite memories.
Well, I suppose
that are of playing. And what are your favourite memories, like days playing hurling? What was it like playing in Croke Park, the importance of it?
Well, I mean, it was always fantastic to go in Croke Park, but to win your home territory was probably even more important. And I suppose definitely the happiest day, I suppose, that I experienced in my playing career had to be the day you were refereeing the county final in 73, that we beat Nahasig, West Kerry. You know, to have suffered the absolute, what would I say, not indignity, but just disappointment of the two county hurling finals in 68 and 69, when I was captain, beaten by Pint and Boat, and then to finally come along and win the football. For the first time since 1936, just 37-year wait. But come along and do it. And, you know, as that match came to a close and Liam Higgins came in, I wound up marking Liam Higgins. And, you know, with my luck in two county finals, I said, Jesus, I hope this man isn't going to turn the game in favour of West Kerry. And he didn't. We won that by 5 points. And I'll never forget the scenes in the Stacks after that. You know, we were celebrating for a long time after that. We actually got a civic reception from Tralee Urban Council.
And it was the start of a golden era.
It was, absolutely, when you look at the guys that were on that team. Yeah. You know, I was lucky enough to play with. I was lucky, so lucky to play with those great players. Like, I mean,
how long had you played in senior football with the Stacks? That was 73. How long? I know you had soldiered with them a long time.
Well, I played in 74. The famous headline in the Kerryman, for which I got serious stick afterwards. I didn't put up the headline, Stacks crash at Muddy My Van. We were beaten by Pint, over in my van by Field Rangers. And
That headline, John, went down very bad by a lot of people, didn't it? Seriously.
I got serious phone calls about that. But the guy who put up that headline is I think up around is editor of a newspaper up around Leinster now.
Stacks crash at Muddy My Van. Beautiful headline.
My Van, great headline, but.
When did you play your first county senior football championship with Stacks?
I'd say 58, but I remember particularly 59 against Ballymacilligate. We had a very good team, and we were fancying ourselves against South Kerry afterwards in Killarney. Mick O'Connell was playing, of course, for South Kerry, and our star player, Mickey Ash, for some reason, was unable to be present. He'd given an exhibition in the match against Ballymacilligate, putting over 45s, like you put over 14-yard frees. He never turned up. We were in the dressing room, and we lost to South Kerry, and I thought a great opportunity was gone because I thought we had a good team that year, you know. But the Stacks, you know, I mean, the Stacks, you know, I hope they come back. I know they have a tough draw against Crokes in the championship this year, but, you know, they're putting in a great effort, and you know, hopefully they will come back.
Finally, John, and you won't, there are so many people you could mention about the Stacks, but I'm going to put one name to you, and I know you'd like to remember him, James Hobart, lot of messing him, the work that he put in, Judah. Would you say that he was one of the people who was instrumental in the Stacks coming? Because he was the man who brought juvenile football in the Stacks from where it was right up and brought all those great players. James Hobart.
Oh, James is an absolutely amazing man. I mean, I think his record of success was incredible. He won so many underage titles for the Stacks.
More than anyone in the county,
I'd say. Oh, I'd say without a shadow of a doubt. And also, I think you'd have to bracket the name of Michal Hayes with him as well, I think. Yeah. In 73, you know, it was a very, very young team. And I think they all came through the hands of James Hobart and Michal Hayes, who was teaching in the primary school in Oakview, and of course, you know, had them all. Was definitely a big factor in getting them to follow the black and amber.
Finally, John, you retired now. How do you spend your time? What are you involved in? Do you follow the games all the time, and you're playing a bit of golf?
Well, I suppose I do play a lot of golf, all right, yeah. Try to keep fit, reasonably so, you know. But I still love to follow the games. I still, my great passion is still hurling, you know. And you know, to me, there's no game in the world to beat it.
Listen, John Perry, it was lovely talking to you. And thanks for all those memories, and the best of luck.
Thank you very much, Richie.